All right. It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Here.
Co-Chair Lennon. Present. Commissioner Vesey. Commissioner Haley. Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Cadleck.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos. Student Commissioner Steerwalt. All right. We have 5 voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. We have 2 individuals here in person. Just ask that you speak at the microphone up here. Just make sure the green light's on and give us your name, please.
There you go.
Good evening. My name is Patrick J. Hostie. I'm virtually a lifelong resident of River Forest. I first of all want to thank you for doing what you're doing for my village. It makes a difference. It's a great place to live because of people like you. Thank you. I came to speak tonight very briefly to support the ordinance that you're bringing forward on leaf blowers, I think. I call it snow blowers, but it's the same thing. It's important that we make this kind of legislation and move forward. The noise levels are such that it's damaging people blocks away. And I'm having more and more a hard time hearing, and partly because of the extra noise from these blowers. And thank you for your consideration. Support. If you want any feedback from me or want me to do anything with your help, I'd be more than happy to. You have my name and address and phone number. Once again, thank you for doing what you're doing.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your comments.
Hello. I'm Dr. Ray McDonald. I likewise have been in River Forest since I was 8 years old. I bought my dad's house when he moved to one of the condos here. But I'm a practicing, well, I practiced medicine for 52 years, and I was an ER doc and a general internist. And I have a younger brother who is a professor of ear, nose, and throat medicine up in Wisconsin. And the leaf blowers, I don't know how far you are with this, but the leaf blowers have really gotten louder and louder. I have a lot of literature on it, and you can actually damage your hearing within 10 or 15 minutes if you're next to a leaf blower making 100 decibels of sound. So a decibel, you know, when they measure hearing, if you can hear talking, you're getting at 20, 40 is pretty loud, but it goes up logarithmic. So the difference between 20 and 40 decibels is 10 times. So you're going to 40 to 80, it's up and up and up. So it takes almost not a lot of time to damage your hearing. So I'd like to pass these out to you. So if you want to look at them, okay. So I really, and a lot of people in California and other places have either outlawed them altogether, or you make sure that the decibels are reasonable. So apparently you know all about this, huh? Okay. I mean, this has been going, you've had a lot of discussions about this already? No, okay. Then there's nothing new. Okay.
Thank you.
No, I mean, we have been talking about this for a while, but we very much appreciate having feedback, because often the only people that come are, you know, the people who are, you know, who are going to lose out under any restrictions. So we're very happy to hear it. Yes.
I mean, it doesn't hurt. You can really hurt your hearing permanently very easily. And it has a lot of different descriptions of.
Thank you. Yeah, I can.
Anyway, this is long history of it going on in other places, and you can spread these around too.
I came in as you're talking.
I mean, they're very useful things. I just think they have to be controlled at a certain decibel level, because maybe as you get older and your hearing gets worse and your mind does not, sometimes it's just really really annoying. No. You know, I mean, so this is a, so,
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just next item of business, just quickly. Commissioner Haley is sick. She is attending via Zoom to allow her to participate remotely via the Open Meetings Act. We need a motion and then vote for that.
Motion to let Commissioner Haley participate.
I second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. Jamie, you're officially in the meeting now.
Thank you.
The one thing is you will need to be on camera, I believe, just for the vote portion of it.
Okay. No problem. I have the flu, so sorry. So don't judge me on my appearance today.
Thank you for not coming.
Next item is the adoption of last month's meeting minutes. Did we have any corrections, clarifications, typos?
They must be perfect.
Finally did it. And with that, we need a motion to adopt.
I so move.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes. Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. Minutes are adopted. We will move on to commissioner updates.
Well, I have an update, and I tried real hard to get everybody a copy, but technology didn't cooperate. I had said in a past meeting that there are a lot of national, I won't call them holidays, but days that might be related to sustainability, and that we might attach some of our weekly blurbs or monthly blurbs to some of these things, and that I would research those. And I meant to give everybody a copy. Seth will send out copies tomorrow. But just to give you an idea, of course, there's things we all know about, like Earth Day. But there's some others that are interesting. There's a National Cut Your Energy Costs Day. There are some World Days that are interesting. World Water Day, of course, Earth Day, Arbor Day, which some of us are probably familiar with. National Stop Food Waste Day, and I think we actually did attach a little blurb to that one this year. Love a Tree, National Bike to Work Day. World Bee Day, World Recycling Day, International Day for Biological Diversity. I've got probably close to 50 of them. Now, some of them might be a little bit out there. For instance, there's a National Squirrel Day, and there's an article on that that explains what squirrels contribute to green and sustainability. And I had a battle going with squirrels at my house. They got.
I was going to say every day is National Squirrel Day at my house, but
yeah, yeah. So to me, it's kind of like, oh, squirrels, you know. But I'm glad to see they do serve a useful purpose. At any rate, I put this list together, and when there's times when we're looking for something, and it's maybe between things that are going on in River Forest that we want to tout. There may be some things here of interest that we can. And what I did, this is in a spreadsheet. And as I said, Seth will send you a copy tomorrow. In a few cases, I actually put some URLs where there were some articles that talked about those. For instance, there's a National Battery Day, which celebrates the fellow that invented the idea of the battery. And that might be a good day to suggest that people use rechargeable batteries and remind them that they can recycle them here. You know, so even things like that, that might seem a little bit out there, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful.
That's my book report.
I don't know if you attended yesterday, Jeff, but I was on the at the food waste. I don't know what it was named, but
is this the
you sent it out?
Food Scrap and Compost Coalition. Is it that one?
Yeah, probably yeah. was.
I was not able to join yesterday, but.
Cool. Well, I thought it was very useful, especially maybe more for schools, or that might just have been where my brain was focused. But one person asked a question of how it could be used in like communities and how governments can implement it. And they were like, they suggested like hosting. I know we don't have a lot of food business in River Forest, but hosting roundtables, having like taste tests, with like what it would be is, I don't know if you all read the email, but like reusing the waste that would usually go in the compost, making it into a delicious meal. I can forward the recording if they send it out. Also, happy holidays. And I want to congratulate us, the Sustainability Commission, and the village on getting their first police electric vehicle. Seth, do we know if it's in use, or like when it will be in use?
So it's like the purchase order has been made, but we haven't received it yet. And then it'll need to be like outfitted and everything. So it will mostly be used. It'll be an unmarked vehicle. So the detectives would use it primarily. So it's, it's not going to be like the standard patrol car that's out sort of all hours of the day, which will help sort of build up the charging infrastructure to meet the needs. But I know that our police chief's excited about it and, you know, excited to see how this sort of first step works as we sort of build out more electric vehicles in the village fleet.
Thanks. That's all I have.
Should we move on to the next item of business?
You know, Seth, can I say something? I'm sorry, Jamie.
Yep, absolutely.
I just wanted to give everybody an update, and I'm sorry, my brain isn't 100% with what we discussed last meeting in regards to the community. What did we call it? Like the community, and I didn't see it on the agenda. It's like the placard.
Community member recognition. Yeah. Actually, I did have that for after the leaf blower ordinance. So I thought I had put the memo in there. I'm paranoid I didn't attach it.
I like I said, I'm a little feverish, so I could be not seeing it, but we can wait then until after. Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, thanks.
So moving on, in, I think it was November, the board had discussed the leaf blower proposal that we had all been discussing for several months. Specific recommendations coming back were take a phased in approach and to look at what other communities, most notably communities on the North Shore who had developed a green landscape working group, what their What had come out of those, most of those communities had already had some sort of seasonal ban in place. So they had developed this sort of four-step framework of first a summer seasonal ban, and then a further seasonal ban where there's a one-month spring window and two-month fall window. And those that had it in place have since, in the past couple of years, transitioned to that. And then sort of the direction I got from administration and then through the village board was to sort of use that as a framework. Got a few modifications and input from higher up. So it starts off with a May 15th to September 1st ban. This is somewhat similar to what Riverside is looking at. Theirs is July 1st to September 1st. So we do keep the sort of early summer timeframe that the North Shore communities had established, but do have that earlier date to allow for gas-powered leaf blowers in the fall for the first 2 years. That would be beginning in 26 and then in 27. And then beginning in 28, that would be that the 3 month windows, the April, October, November windows. It also gives the village administrator authority to extend those periods up to an additional 30 days, just depending on how late the seasons go. And then it would be a full leaf blower ban taking effect in 2030. No communities other than Evanston and Oak Park have put this forward, but this was one of the things is that my direction was to eventually get to that point. And it gives long enough of a horizon that we can continue to monitor, see how everything goes. But that was basically how it came down. I did preserve the rebate language beginning this year for anyone who is any landscape contractors who would commit to going all electric during the summer months this year and then year round in subsequent years. That was basically in line with what this commission had initially put forward. So yeah, from there I'll open it to discussion and hear all of your thoughts.
Well, I'll chime in, Seth. I mean, I think it looks good, other than a couple of comments I made the other day still, I think, need to be built in. You know, for example, generators, that term is also applied to solar generators, battery generators. So it needs to be specific to, I think, internal combustion generator. I think that's what we're talking about.
It says fossil fuel power generator in A.
It says a ban on generators.
Oh, I'll need to, yeah, clarify. I have it in the definition.
A couple other places that has it as well. So, and I don't know that I necessarily make fossil fuel, but it needs to be, you're talking about engines, right? So the other thing is on, what would that, I don't have the page number, it's 3-3-5. So I think this still applies to all, right? We're still talking residents and everything, right?
So the 3-3-5, the lawn maintenance landscaping, that is specifically in the
contractor
but this, provision. But this, the leaf blower use, that is, section 3, that would apply to all.
All, right?
Correct.
All right. So I maybe it's just me, and you can probably very easily talk me out of it. But I think this piece that says, and who employs two or more persons, to me, if you're in the business, you're in the business. I don't care if there's one or 10. So I would just strike that personally. Because what, you know, because everything's talking about a contractor. So, okay, well, I'm not technically a contractor because it's just me and my truck. So I can still use my blowers. I can still do all this. I just think that needs to be the first statement is the appropriate one. Any person who makes a business of mowing, trimming, raking, that type of stuff. I think I would just stop it with that.
So yeah. That way we would include a single practitioner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any reason we shouldn't? I mean,
that's what I'm asking. I don't know.
Yeah,
that section is the existing definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
But I could see that as some inconsistency or a loophole, if you would, that would say, okay, I don't have to comply because I'm technically not a contractor.
With the, that would be people who currently don't have to comply with being registered with the village as a landscape contractor. Okay. Everyone, whether it's a resident taking care of their own lawn, you know, a kid who is doing this on the side and isn't licensed, like a potential example there, everyone will have to comply with the leaf blower use section. It would be a completely separate section of the village code.
Okay. Where will it say that, Seth? Is that in what you've given us?
I don't know exactly where it would go in the code. I believe that would, I'd need to, you know, speak to the village attorneys to get them to define where it would be codified. I believe it would be in, you know, probably somewhere in like near the noise ordinance section or somewhere within the police powers section of the village code.
So it will be clear to everyone that it's an all.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's really my question. Other than I thought it was.
Yeah. And that was, a few clarification. I spoke to the sustainability coordinator in Winnetka just to get her feedback on how they've implemented it, how everything's worked there. They, you know, did make it clear that it applies to everyone with how and where they codified it. And then there was one provision in here, I believe, that they had suggested where it was making clear that if it is a contractor violating it, that the fee is assessed against the contractor, meaning the business or the licensee, rather than the individual worker or the property owner. So that was one clarification piece of feedback they had given me. That's paragraph H of that section 3, that leaf blower use section.
Are these time frames in line with the other ones that you looked at on the North Shore?
So most of them had basically just recently made the jump from the seasonal ban, and some of them had it in place since, you know, 2017, 2015. I think one was as far back as the early aughts. And then the only one that I saw take the more phased in approach, I believe, was it Highland Park? I could be wrong about the community off the top of my head, but they had, I think it was 2 or 3 years with going to one of the seasonals, and then the full ban took effect.
But, no, my question was, is the May 15th to September 1st, is that the standard?
So they had May 15th to September 30th, making it earlier. For just that first seasonal step was feedback I had gotten administratively.
Oh. Can we make a recommendation of a different date?
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to suggest September 15th. And part of the reason is just, you know, this is going at a very slow and reasonable pace to And I, you know, I'm thinking to September 1st, where it's really not major leaf season. It's been pretty warm, and so I would just suggest that, since I guess that's so. We would just change everywhere September 1st to September 15th.
If people are in
agreement on that.
Paragraphs C and D of the first section, that would just be applying, or just twice in paragraph C of the first section, that would just be applying to the rebate provision. Yep. And then paragraph B of the second provision.
Yep.
Have a noise-free Labor Day.
That would be nice. Are there any other comments? Are we ready to vote?
Is it just kind of to clarify, the red line, or like the, because it's not red line, but the strike through is from the last draft that we had talked about, right? Okay.
In the 3-3-5,
yeah,
that is just the only things that really struck through. It was just sort of restructuring how that definitions paragraph worked. So it's just change definition to definitions, and then put the sort of all caps lawn maintenance contractor rather than the term lawn maintenance contractor is defined to mean. So that was really just a stylistic change to that section. I don't have a side-by-side copy of what we had talked about last time. I know paragraphs C and D of that first section were largely unchanged, other than the I think I added the through 2029, which is the last year the seasonal ban would be in effect, for that second paragraph for the sort of early adopter rebate.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have much to add. I think it looks good, and I think is a good compromise, and I think kind of continuation of my sentiment earlier when we discussed it. So I don't have too much to add.
So where to from here, Seth?
So with your vote, this would then go to the board, and it would be basically up to them as to if and when to adopt.
I just wondered if we could, or I'd get some feedback on adding another section. I mean, the reason that we're proceeding so cautiously and slowly is because we don't feel at this time that the technology exists. Could we just add one thing at the end that says something to that effect, that, you know, should there be improvements in professional grade electric leaf blowers, this timetable could be moved up.
Yeah, and that could go as a whereas paragraph in the beginning,
yeah,
or that
yeah.
could be.
Yeah, because I think the main thing that we're trying to do here is we're trying to send out a signal that this is coming, and they need to prepare. And
so I do have this as a whereas paragraph. The Sustainability Commission will continue to review the impacts of gas-powered landscaping equipment and technological advancements in electric and battery-operated landscape equipment to promote the adoption of electric landscaping equipment.
Where's that?
That is beneath the sort of one with the blank.
Yeah, that's something we'd asked for in the last time we did it.
Yep.
Could we add a sentence there just saying that this timetable, you know, as we, that this timetable could be reviewed, so should the, you know, because I think if we got new information, that was, it seems to me that was the main thing that we got hooked up on, and that if we thought today the technology existed, then we would have a much quicker timetable. So the landscapers will be more on top of technology. And so as they see it come available, we just want them to know it would be in their best interest to adapt sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so I'll just add an additional sentence within that paragraph then.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Okay.
Do we have a motion?
I so move.
Right.
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
I just want to clarify, this is with the adjusted date of September 15th?
Yes, this is with the adjusted date of September 15th.
Was everybody aware of that when they voted? Yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah, 7-0. That is adopted and will be recommended to the board. So moving on.
And the time frame on that stuff would be what?
So I would imagine that My guess is that will go to the board this second meeting of January. If not, it would be the first meeting of February. Okay. So I would want to get notification out to the landscape contractors as soon as possible, both to make them aware of the rebate program as it comes into place, and we can sort of monitor the adoption of that. But then just to let them plan and know that this is, you know, a year and a half down the road, this will be coming. So
I think another thing that maybe we could do is we have the community spotlights on businesses. So maybe the first person who signs up for this, we could, you know, really put a spotlight on that they're doing that. And maybe we can convey that to them as, you know, since we're starting out with a carrot, just to say, you know, we're really going to help to promote you if you push this along.
Yes, and I will let them know about that they would be listed as a company committed to utilizing only electric leaf blowers on the village website. And so that would probably be the first step for the first adopter. So moving on to the next item. So this was something we had discussed last time, is just ways to recognize households and businesses throughout the community for taking sustainable actions on their own. This list on the first page of this memo.
Seth,
that
you skipped over the tree preservation. Did you want to say anything about that?
Oh, I had holding that off till next month. I had.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, because I have an outdated
draft memo. Yes, sir.
Right. Sorry.
In this memo, so the first nine things here in the four categories, this is what Jamie had put together as some potential topics in order to recognize people. And then just very briefly at the end of the memo, we had specifically discussed recognizing blocks with the highest amount of households in the composting program. And then I just put together a couple quick lists based on percentage of households in each block and then total households. So 900 Bonnie Bray is the leader, and I just caught my own typo on one of the in that memo. But yeah, just wanted to open this up. Jamie, I didn't know if you had any input, if you wanted to outline anything particularly. Yeah. And then Manolo was also on the initial emails with the this list.
Yeah, so I'll just jump in just briefly. So me and the internet put that list together. I tried to make them as smart as possible. I think we need to work on them a little bit more and have them either cut some out or just make them a little bit more tangible for people to, or households to, you know, achieve. But I think it's a step in the right direction. And then I took the image that the butterfly with the star, and I dumped that into ChatGPT and outspit some nice little icons. I don't know if you have those in there or not.
I had not. I can share that in an email to the commission tomorrow, though.
It's one of the first times I use ChatGPT, so it's a really neat function. Anyway, the content is probably more important at this point versus the image. So if you guys don't mind taking a look and providing feedback, I would appreciate it.
So I was just wondering, is this is just the first step, and then we have to come up with a way that we would recognize them, like how we would measure this? Or
I think that's probably something we need to kind of chat through. Yeah, there would be like measurements, and then I don't know, it would probably be very time consuming. I was thinking through on how to track them, so I think it would probably be more of an honor system. Potentially, I don't know how the logistics is going to work. You know, maybe it's like a color form and they'll just fill it in. I don't know exactly. That's probably something we need to chat through.
Okay, thanks.
Did you look at, or is anyone here familiar with like Oak Park having a similar? I saw, since we talked about this last time, I saw a sign that was like, I've gone green. And then it had like a, in the corner, you could note, I think it was like handwritten, like what they did, but presumably it was like, I didn't look into it further, but it sounded like a very similar program where they were sort of trying to acknowledge different. I don't know what all the options were that you would like write in or why they would give you a sign, but I'm wondering if there's maybe just some consistency we could, or maybe there was, it's like a defunct program too. I don't know. It was just one sign I saw, but
it's still up. I talked to, because I was curious too, and I couldn't find anything on their website, but apparently they're still doing it because Liz Lucart, my friend, she runs the Energy and Environment Commission, or the chair, and she was like, they award people monthly. She didn't say how. Maybe we could set up a meeting or something, or I can forward you what she said. I should have had that out here. But yeah, I do feel like we need, like, because it's going to be hard to track all this, but I feel like the houses you've already compiled is like maybe the first step, but I guess we have to have it more frequent. And like, do we want to have it be monthly like Oak Park, or quarterly, or what? I don't know.
Monthly seems like a lot of work. Maybe we could start off with quarterly. Of course, it depends. Yeah, how do you measure? And
well,
it would be good to find out what the Oak Park thing is.
I was thinking when we used to have a lawn recognition, it was really more like a pledge. So maybe this is an expansion of that, where there's a pledge, and maybe we have
that might be easier to.
So there might be a sign, and then there's like various stickers where you've, you know, all the different components that you've pledged.
Yeah, I think that was kind of my understanding, like where we were going with this. And thanks for putting the list together, Jamie, because I think that was helpful to kind of envision where we would kind of want to take this next. And I think, you know, what I was thinking is that we, you know, develop specific benchmarks and kind of, you know, have it simple goals related to sustainability. And then each one could represent like a badge or something to meet a specific benchmark, whether it's related to, you know, lawn care, energy, or education, or, you know, biking, walking, something like that. I think like organizing them by, you know, badges or something that could be displayed. And then I think how it could be reported. Like, I like the idea of self-reporting, because I think that would just be more streamlined and easier, where a simple form people could, you know, kind of over time document either their progress towards the goals and the badges, or to meet those requirements in the first place through a form.
Yeah, I think it's a good start. And had the same basic questions, you know. I'd ask, maybe take a look at some of the others that we do, like Soul Smart, for example. So there's set criteria. I mean, it's kind of broad stuff. You know, you need to do so much of this and so much of that, and you go from, what is it, silver, gold, platinum type of thing, but it's a self-driven. And I don't know if anybody comes out and audits anybody, and I don't though that we want to do that. I just, that's the awareness piece, which to me is important, and the involvement piece. So if somebody's even thinking about it, that's a huge step forward. So I'd ask, just take a look at, you know, some of those and simplify it, obviously, because Soul Smart's pretty long as well. So I think the EV one was pretty long, but just real basic, real simple, which allows, as we just stated, people to step through to, you know, from a beginner to whatever. However you want to do that, silver, gold,
well,
platinum, or whatever you want to do.
Might we do a spotlight kind of thing like we do with the businesses? Maybe people write a little essay on, you know, what they're doing, and, you know, you pick one quarterly or however often, and put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, well, and that's all good stuff you can do too. But my thinking was, when I first tossed it out, was to have something visual. You know, obviously people don't always, I mean, you drive by signs every day and you don't see them anymore after a while. But it, you go around and you see, oh, I got this wildlife sanctuary kind of thing, or you said there's one in Oak Park, but that they start and other types of things. You know, I don't rake my leaves, whatever it is. You know, so it's something visual that identifies a house, just like they put up their kids' sporting teams and whatever. So it's something other people are going around the community and say, hey, there's other people doing this stuff, versus if you just write something up and put it out, you're somebody may have read it and maybe not. But so something that kind of keep the visual piece going for is kind of my initial thought on it. Doesn't mean it has to be, but that's how I thought about it.
I feel like it could kind of be both pieces, because like to your point, people can just like write up about themselves or someone else, as well as we can like somehow determine how to award these like stickers or signs. I don't know. That's just my thinking. And they do it yearly, not monthly. I was just looking. So
I should probably know this at this point, but we have some kind of budget for these kind of things, or do we just have to ask the village if we were going to like print signs or get stickers or something?
Yeah, I would just need to factor it into there's a general boards and commissions budget for sort of community events, recognitions, those sorts of things. So yeah, we would just need to sort of have an idea, and honestly, we're getting into budget season anyway, so just even having a round number of what to plan for, the fiscal year starts May 1st. So
there was a time when Sustainability Commission had $5,000 per year. Is that still there?
I do not know off the top of my head. I would need to look.
Okay. Because in a pre-meeting, one thing we talked about was maybe giving some, like a few months free of composting for people that signed up for the year. And at the time you said we would have to go through the board, but I mean, I'm sure that wouldn't be a costly thing if we did have a small budget. I wonder, is that something that we could just decide on ourselves?
That would still need to go through the board as like a spending program. But yeah, I would need to look into that.
Okay. Because I thought that was the point of a budget, is that you don't have to go to the board to say, you know, we want to spend $100. Is that okay? And wait a month for them. But I don't know. So maybe you could check into those different components of it. Do we have an allocation?
Each expenditure would need to go to the board. I think the parameters would need to be outlined as to what. And I'm not, again, there may be some sort of enabling thing already, but I would need to look at that.
Well, maybe you could just check into that. It's kind of a broader question since we're bringing up with this. Can we do these small things and just decide in here without grinding through especially on a one-off thing like that? Like, you know, just if you sign up now, you get free compost pickup till March, as long as you sign up for a year, which is something that Oak Park is running right now.
I also think there could be potential to, if we incentivize like compost, or say like, if you qualify for three of these, we'll give you a Sustainability Commission water bottle, reusable water bottle or something. But if they sign up proactively and opt in to some kind of email, then those are probably the people that are going to be more interested in the other stuff too. Cause I mean, I think that's like, as someone, I think when I first moved here, like 12 years ago, I signed up for like the green lawn thing. And then I would get asked if I was still participating, but I kind of had lost track of like what I was supposed to be doing. And it was kind of like, I'm in favor of it, but not sure I'm really practicing anymore. And so like taking that list of people and kind of use it as like a, I don't know, we don't want to spam people, but you could have probably a crowd that would be interested in hearing about some of the other stuff that maybe they're not doing.
All right. So how should we move this forward?
So I can go and do some research on, you know, other communities, see if I can pop, if anything pops on the internet, and just to kind of, you know, compare. I think that's probably, you know, a good step. Anybody else have any other suggestions?
Other than I would say, you know, keep it real basic to start. You know, so if you wanted this, again, whatever you want to come up with, Jamie, but if you think, I'm just thinking because of the Soul Smart, silver, gold, platinum. If you're just going to start it as like a silver level, just real basic, get it going. And that'll simplify things. So just a handful of things that we can start with. And then we can continue over time, add more and more and more and more to it. That would be some of my thinking. Otherwise, it can get maybe overly complex real fast and run aground.
Well, and it may take more time and effort to put it together if we make it too complicated.
Yeah, all that.
So
yeah.
Start with something that we can get running.
Just get the basic elements in place and get it going and learn.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Well,
but I think you did a nice job at framing it.
Yeah, I think so too. And yeah, maybe we could find out a little bit more about what Oak Park is doing with their program.
Yeah, I can try to schedule a meeting or like, because what she gave me was very vague.
I think we'd be maybe interested in knowing how they verify or grade.
How they grade it, yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. How you qualify, the specifics of how that might work. Because that's everything we're saying here is great, but that's the one area where I'm not clear on how we would do that. And you could wind up making it much more complicated than it needs to be because of that. So,
yeah, I mean, some of these are straightforward, like if you have an electric or hybrid vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we know that in the registration. So that's.
That'd be easy to verify, sure.
We know the people that have, at least that have village composting. We know people who have applied for solar. So some of these we know, but.
Yeah, so maybe those are the quick hits because those are easy to verify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Like starting with the short, simple goals would be best for this. And then would the idea be to have a form for self-reporting towards these goals?
Yeah, whatever you guys come up with, or do something online, or and they schedule an appointment with Seth and come down and do an interview, whatever.
Self-report, but a $5,000 fine from Seth if you don't comply.
I'm just thinking another approach could be, I mean, what I like about this comprehensive list is that there are people that are doing a lot of different things, and you know, certain things are always being recognized, but a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, what can I do? And I always say, try to do the things that are easiest for you. And I think the more things, so I think we can also use this list as a, you know, sort of as a self-grading thing. Like, yeah, there's certain things that we can recognize, but I don't think we have to be held back by, well, how are we going to be able to tell if they do this? How are we going to know if they compost? How are we going to know if they have worms? And so, you know, we could, maybe there are different outcomes from this. And one is more just, like along the lines of, you know, when you're online and they say, you know, take this little test to see how you're doing. And then you get points or something, but it's just your own little pat on the back, which is really, important as well.
Yeah, definitely. I would say like with the form, there'd be an opportunity to, you know, direct to the village website, or you can check these boxes. If there's sustainability topics you want to learn more of or implement more into your home and your life. And then I think also with what Louise was saying earlier about doing, you know, a spotlight with the forum, we could maybe have a question at the end, like, would you be interested in sharing more about your experience? And if you could do a little writing or something that we could include in the newsletter. And then that way we could, you know, have some stories from the people doing this self-reporting to then share for that spotlight.
The one thing, you know, I'm sorry not to be a Debbie Downer, but like it's a lot of work. I just want to make it as easy as possible for people. You know, I have three kids driving around, you know, filling out a form and every quarter or whatever it has to be. I don't want it to be a lot of work or a hassle for people, because then that's when people aren't willing to do things. So I think I kind of like more of the idea as like a pledge almost. Or something. I just, we just have to make it, my point is just, we'd have to make it really easy for people me doing a write-up for this for a sign on my front lawn, I'm not going to do that. It's just, I have too much going on in my life. So, you know, I don't want to discourage people by the amount of work they have to put in, because some of this stuff is already a lot of work. So, I mean, I like the idea of a form. I just don't know how practical it is for some people.
Yeah. And I don't think everybody wants a spotlight on them. I mean, they might be very interested in doing all this stuff, but they don't want a sign.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking, you know, the spotlight would be a very optional thing and wouldn't have anything to do with, you know, qualifying for the different milestones that we set, or, you know, getting the sign in the yard and everything. But I think it would just, like, the spotlight would just be an opportunity for those who are interested in that, to do something with that. And I do like that point of, you know, I don't think it should be quarterly or even, you know, like annually, where you have to come back and keep reporting on these things. I think it should be entirely voluntary. If you have an update or you want to fill out the form again to, you know, maybe you've increased, you know, your levels towards different milestones or something, you can, but I think it should be like no timeline attached to it. Just, you know, you can fill out the form whenever and it's always available for those that want to complete it.
Hey Seth, that Survey Monkey, is that like a thing we can leverage for a form for this or
yeah,
whatever?
We have
like an ongoing system or something that you can just kind of keep on for this.
Yeah, we have just like full Survey Monkey account, and we use it every year. I had initially just started using it just for the compost subscribers for when they get the compost delivered, but we can use as many sort of forms, surveys, different things we want for that. And just as a quick side note from that, I had plugged that in with the most recent monthly newsletter, and we've gotten like 70 new responses. So
that's great. That's,
yeah.
Wow. That's almost 50%.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's good. Give it a little more time and then we can revisit.
But yes, yeah, we can certainly create a sort of share a sustainability nomination form, or even like a checkbox form of, like, you know, people can submit it even if they want recognition or not. If, you know, I've committed to signing up for the compost program, signing up for community solar, going down the list with everything, planting a native garden.
Well, the pledge idea, you know, or checking on, yeah, take the quiz and see how you're doing kind of thing. SurveyMonkey would lend itself very well to that.
Yeah.
But I think Jamie's right about time and energy. I mean, when you see those things, the only time I ever do any of those things is if they're short and sweet. So, you know, it's like takes 2 minutes and there's five questions or something. You know, it's our other survey was great and that was useful and interesting, but I don't think that's, you know, that you want something that
I think we're all in agreement. Yeah. It needs to be something that's very, very simple to do and very easy, and give somebody a score and you get so many points and okay, here's your badge or whatever. Right.
Well, and maybe if you do it, like Susan was saying, then again, it's something you can publish. You can say, hey, you know, see how you're doing, and then we'll report back, you know, and then one of our newsletters, we can say, hey, you know, we had X number of people rating themselves, and gee, look at this. This is what your neighbors are doing, you know. And that's still gets to the idea of focusing people's attention on it, and, you know, your neighbors are doing it. Don't you want to do it too, or something?
Should we go just that? I feel like the simplest and easiest way is to maybe like not eliminate the shout out nomination. To your point, we can like add it in a newsletter of how many people have gotten these awards, or maybe that doesn't make sense. But I feel like the simplest way would just be to put check boxes for all of the things we're looking at and then award based on that. And I guess if we're really a stickler, we can go around in their car and look at the house, but
nah.
That seems invasive.
It's got to be on our system. It's otherwise, it's too time consuming. But yeah, I like your idea of the check boxes. You know, if you've got five or six things or something, check off what you're, you know, things that you're doing. Something that'd be real quick for somebody to be able to respond to.
Before we move on, I just wondered how. Oh, did you want to say something, Jamie?
You know, I'll come back. I'll do those nine things, or maybe I'll change the amount and I'll do like a gold, silver, or I'm sorry, what's the bronze, gold, silver kind of check mark thing, and we can see if that kind of works out better.
Well,
sorry.
maybe the level of gold, silver, or whatever ought to be based on how many things you check off. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, how do you?
Yeah.
If you've got an electric car, you've got an electric car.
Yeah, that's true. You can't have half a electric car. Okay, well, let me think about it a little bit more. Yeah, it must be Heskin. It's going to have to be like a point system then, too.
Right.
Well, why don't we start with coming up with the list, the checkboxes, you know, what things we want to grade on, and then worry about, you know, four out of the 10, or, you know, where an A and a B and a C, you know, what the curve is, the grading curve is. Just come up with what the little questionnaire might look like.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in Susan's mouth, but I thought this is kind of what she's saying. Don't hesitate to have like four things under a category, but if you tick one of them, you're good, you know, mm-hmm. but have the other four there, just mm-hmm. type of thing.
To whatever's easier for you to do.
Whatever's easier.
More suited to your life.
Yeah, but I like the idea of checkboxes rather than somebody writing an essay, because the other thing about it is that SurveyMonkey can tally check marks. It can't mm-hmm. tally comments. You have to read those and, you know.
What did we have ideas? Seth put together these statistics on the composting rates by block. Do we have an idea of how to spread this good cheer?
Honestly, my thought was one of the weekly newsletters, just note it, plug in that, you know, it's now easier than ever with compost splitting, and mm-hmm. Just sort of recognize that in terms of total number of households and in percentage of the block, the leader is the 900 block of Bonnie Bray, and just sort of give them a quick shout out for helping divert organic mm-hmm. waste, keeping it out of the landfill.
Okay, good. Maybe you can just mention both 900 Bonnie Bray, 11 households, 65% of the.
Yep.
Nice. Good. Thanks for doing that.
I want to point out that my block is in second place.
Yay!
So with that, I will plan to, yeah, just for the composting block, run that as a weekly newsletter in the coming weeks. And then, Jamie, you're going to work on a checklist. And then, yeah, just feel free to shoot that over to me whenever, share with whoever you want, get some feedback first. But yeah, we'll go on from there. And then we'll just plan to keep this as a item for the next couple months to continue to talk through it. Moving on to the next item. So I believe, Susan, you had suggested the resilience topic from the UIC climate plans.
Very, very on point at this
yes.
time.
So this was one of the more broad overarching ones in actually both of the class section reports. So I just sort of quickly bullet pointed out all of the different things that each report put under their resilience. One was resilience and resource management, the other was just resilience. Some of these we talked about before. There's been some overlap with other items we've discussed, but just wanted to put this all out there for you to discuss. And then I know, Gary, you had raised that really a lot of these things can be sort of built into that communications process and sharing resources with residents through newsletters, social media, the village website. But yeah, wanted to open it up for you all for discussion.
Well, I think the looking at the improved waste diversion, certainly I think that's a good one for communications. And I know we've done this before. I did it in one of my letters to the Wednesday Journal about things like the upcycling site, like donating things to the economy shop or Salvation Army or whatever, you know, reuse kind of thing. Some of those national days, you know, that you can hook communications there, whether it's recycling or don't waste food day or whatever. I still think that a lot of these things are a matter of communication.
So that you mentioned that, I will just briefly jump ahead to communications and I will share my screen one second here. So Jamie had written up for next month's monthly newsletter the LRS trip that a lot of you had gone on back in October. So I have that set to run as the monthly. And then one of the things Susan had raised was to include textile recycling as one. So I built out the next month as sort of a focus on recycling and reuse and really hit four big topics: the LRS visit and effective curbside recycling rates, then textile recycling, plugging the Cook County Hard to Recycle Materials Center, which it's located in the south suburb, so it's a bit hard to get to, but basically anything that you don't know how to recycle, they will accept.
There's a closer one. It's a one-day pop-up that it's in the Forest Preserve, but I don't know who sponsors it, so maybe we can get some information on that. I think it's in the spring, and they collect all kinds of things. So that's another thing.
And that
in Miller's Woods, by the dog park.
Yeah, and this is like open every weekend drop-off center, but this it might be the same
idea,
sort of, yeah, and even the same group since the Forest Preserve and the county are quasi the same government. And then I wanted to just plug plastic bag recycling drop-off locations. I know that's frequently one of the biggest contaminants in curbside recycling. So it's just, I figured that was an easy one to raise awareness of. I believe Harzine still collects plastic bags. The high school still collects plastic bags. And then Jewel does as well.
Was it the church? There's another one besides Harzine. Is it Pilgrim? Is it the church that does the farmer's market?
The farmer's market, yeah. I'm forgetting the name too.
That is Pilgrim Church, yep.
Okay, I think they're also...
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and the advantage of Harzine and Pilgrim is that they're getting plastic benches in return. Yes. You know?
Yeah, I was trying to find the email, but I think I read today the Interfaith Green Network has collected enough plastic bags to make 10 of those benches, going back over years, but still, that's a lot of plastic bags to pull out of the system.
Yeah, because to start with, it was 500 pounds, and then it got changed to 1,000 pounds of plastic bags for one bench. So just think about how many pounds of plastic that is to get 10 benches. That's fabulous.
But yeah, I think just things, and I'll look at your list and everything can be obviously adjusted as needed. We've got a lot of blank spots going forward for the year, but things like that can very easily be incorporated into the communications side and easily shared with residents.
I wish we could get the Wednesday Journal on board. I don't understand what the heck is going on over there. You know, I tried to get us a column and that didn't work. And if we could get them to have a green calendar or something, you know, I'm kind of surprised that they're not more oriented towards some of these things. Maybe I can try again. You know, Ken Traynor seemed receptive, but then, you know, it didn't seem to. They've got a new relatively new editor, and I don't know if she lives around here or how you know, knowledgeable or invested she is in the communities, but we don't seem to be able to get through and have a discussion with her about these things. So maybe I'll give that another shot.
Oh, it might be cool. And I know you got the next few months filled, but like, or maybe this is just something for us, but the One Earth Collective has, like you were talking about, a green calendar that maybe we can spotlight.
Oh.
And sometimes it's filled with events, sometimes it's not. So it's a hit or miss. I can share it out.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could send that to me. And I, you know, typically plug, you know, One Earth around like the film festival time, that typically goes in the newsletter. But yeah, if there's other stuff year round, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, there's other stuff that go on year round. And like, we can use it for our events. I use it for to promote events I'm going to.
Yeah, back on the resilience piece, Jamie, if I could ask you to, because I get confused real easy. And so when I've got different things that all kind of look the same, the more I can blend them, the better off I feel. If I take a look at this two-page document, it's pretty much the same types of things that you've pulled in to what you did. So I'd ask you just to go, and if there's some pieces of it or some aspects of it that try and blend them, in other words. So we've got one set of stuff that we're promoting. Try and keep common terminology, at least as far as how we do it. That way it becomes pretty straightforward for us, and what we're doing begins to, in my mental thinking, flow versus being set to documents. So if there's some elements of this that you can weave in or should weave into what you're pulling together, that's what I'm suggesting, in other words. Otherwise, we're forever going back and forth between documents, and I like to just keep one thing out in front.
One set of goals,
basically. Yeah. Yeah. The thought when I was reading this is kind of hard, probably. A lot of these, I think, seem like great ideas, but maybe hard for us to, like, pursue all of them or to pursue all of them knowledgeably and effectively. And I'm kind of wondering if there's, I don't know how we'd make this connection, but there are people in the community that are maybe, like, advocates for some of them, if it's, like, some of the, some of the biodiversity ones or just like sort of the things you could do at your house. It might be good to have, like, maybe at some point we could figure out a way to sort of have a call out for if people want to, you know, I don't know, volunteer to write up something or hold an informational thing, or I don't know. It'd be nice to, like, use our platform to kind of amplify people who are already passionate and knowledgeable about these, instead of kind of trying to figure out our own how best it would work in the village.
Well, maybe this is too idealistic. I don't know. But when I was working and we were rolling out new things like Windows 7 at the time or whatever, you know, and there's 30,000 employees in the company and stuff, somebody came up with the idea of champions, so that there might be somebody in a department or an area of the, this was at Northern Trust Bank, at the bank who was real gung-ho on Windows 7 and real knowledgeable and all that. So as we were rolling out some of these things, you had people that were willing to identify as champions with a capital C. And, you know, instead of having to maybe call the help desk or whatever, you know, you could go over to Louise's desk or Bob's desk or whatever, and, you know, they'd talk to you about it or champion whatever the idea was. Maybe getting people in the village who might be willing to be champions.
Maybe we could tie that in with our previous discussion of the, you know, the people that we're highlighting. That,
yes.
Because these are people that have gone through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to talk to someone, how did you think through installing solar? These are the people you can talk to. And actually, that would also serve as a kind of a feedback check, because if people aren't being honest about things and people start showing up at your doorstep asking you, how did you do this? And be like, ah. So that might be an idea to tie those two things together.
Well, and if you think about what Oak Park's doing with their OpCan group, that's maybe more formal, but in a sense, that's exactly what that is. Local residents who are champions and are willing to spend some time and energy helping other people.
Any more comments on this section?
Moving on. Let's see here. I'd already touched on communications and sort of outlined that for the next month. And then, once Luis sends that over to me, I'll share it with everyone. We'll get know some of the big dates to recognize and find ways to incorporate those days sort of into all of sharing all of these resources and this information, and then soliciting feedback from experts in these fields and finding members of the community to recognize and sort of tying all these things together into one big package.
And I'm willing to write up some, blurbs for the newsletter tied to some of these days. I mean, there's like 50 days there. Maybe we're not going to pick all of them, but just it's something to select from. So.
That sounds awesome. Thank you.
There was even one on. Yeah. Well, since I've got such an adversarial relationship with squirrels, I figure maybe I should give them a break. So maybe I should, be responsible for writing up squirrels. Yeah. But I mean, you can have a little humor and maybe somebody would go, you're not going to believe that what they would put in the newsletter. You ought to subscribe to it. They're talking about squirrels. You know, maybe you get more people to read the newsletter if you have a few humorous ones in there too. There was even one about straws, I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but. Skip the straw day. That's the 24th of February. So that's coming up. We can get that one in.
I think just another topic that popped into mind was I think it would be good to get out the energy use involved in AI and not everybody's aware of that, but I mean it's tremendous energy usage to
that and cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency and all of these things, sort of the environmental side for people who are not keeping their eye on that. And I don't know if you've all gotten the notices, but evidently our electric rates are going up this year because they're constructing data centers around Chicago, which are using the energy uses of like a small city. And so, as a result of that, all of our efforts to rein it in, and now, something comes along and shoots it out.
And we didn't even get to see the butterfly that Jamie made. Even for all of that,
she already used the energy, so I think we should.
Yeah, we should at least.
I'll be sure to share that and send it along. I did include
it twice, so shame on me.
But that's my point, Jamie. That we need to get out this word, because it seems it's not something that we see. And now I don't know this. When I Google something now, it automatically gives me an AI, even if I haven't been using it. So I don't know if you know the way to avoid that, but when you write something in, you write minus AI. And
really?
Yeah.
And does that work?
It does. Ooh. You have to do it every single time.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to remember that one.
The only other item I had in the packet for you all was the quarterly EV report. You can see the usage, both in terms of number of drivers and charging sessions, has really gone up the past few months. And then you can see over sort of the course of the year, the effect that that the fee and limiting the free charging to 2 hours has really had in promoting the turnover at the charging station. We're not getting, you know, somebody parked there for 48 hours with a fully charged vehicle anymore, items like that. Most people are right around that 2 hour time. If they go over a little bit, it's a few cents. I think over the year, the station's raised, looked into it. I need to double check, but I thought it was about $3,000 worth of charging fees.
We should spend that.
We have that for our,
we should spend that.
Back to Susan's question about money.
And then the design is underway for the new charging station locations. I actually need to follow up with them tomorrow just to get a general update, but should hopefully be making some progress over the next couple months with that and get a whole set of brand new charging stations into the village. And then at that point, we'll certainly be coming here to have a more robust discussion on fees for those and how to plan everything out there.
Seth, could you remind me that, look, I know one was on North Avenue.
Yeah, the
and
North
then
Avenue.
Was it the lot over by the train?
Yes, it's the one on the west side of Thatcher,
okay,
which is typically just day parking and is not really used. Most people want to park closer to the train steps. So that's why we're doing it there. And then the other one is there's a lot just like one block straight this way off of Franklin, sort of behind the shopping center. It's generally 3 hour parking. And then there's a few, I think, permits for some of the residents of the buildings nearby. But there would be direct current fast chargers going into a couple of those 3 hour parking spots.
Okay. And those are, will those all be like DC level three or any
those
additional
and
level?
The one at the village lot that really just seems like it's part of the CVS lot would both be direct current fast chargers. The metro lot will be level twos.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking that sometimes like the popularity of this might be kind of having a level two is still nice probably for a lot of people, especially if you're taking the train downtown or just want a little, like it's nice having both, I guess. So I think that's, glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think with the fast chargers, we'll definitely need to discuss a pretty set overstay fee, just because I know, you know, that gets to, I think it's 80% in 20 minutes is how it charges. So I'm sure we'll want to encourage quick turnover at those.
Or just charge outright.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a definite improvement.
I think we,
that's
for
a good
those
idea.
Ones, we'll definitely
yeah.
need to
yeah.
charge, at least recoup the electric cost for those.
Definitely, yeah.
What's the timing, Seth, again?
It's still early phases of the design for it. And then the engineering firm we use, we're going to utilize a, it's not strictly design build, but it's once they get far enough along in the design, they are going to be the ones to then put it out to bid, and they'll work with the electrical contractor for the sort of construction, getting the ComEd transformer, and then the eventual installation of the equipment itself.
They're playing general contractor or project manager.
Basically,
for the,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we'll still have oversight and regular meetings with them, but it's just rather than them having them come back with full plans and then we put it out to bid, and that would be a, you know, bit slower of a process. So this will hopefully get everything going quickly and not have, you know, try and time it up with any, there aren't any delays, whether it be through ComEd, through ordering the chargers themselves, or the contractor work. But that being said, we're hoping late spring. I think the big thing is just going to be how long it takes to get the ComEd transformer. I know sometimes those can take a while, or transformers, because there'll be three locations. But sometimes they can get them turned around in a couple months. So I will hopefully have more of a progress update at next month's meeting on that project.
Wonderful. We have a few minutes, which is really rare. So I just wanted to open it up and see, is there anything that people would like to see us discuss in the future that we are not getting into these, or any other comments, suggestions, thoughts?
I had an idea which I think I need to look more into. And this could be something that we just tied to the newsletter, but I thought it'd be interesting to maybe talk about light pollution. Maybe with the newsletter, or even turn it into some kind of community initiative or events. And, because in regards to light pollution, I think, the biggest thing, at least to me, is, at night, and the disruptance to the circadian rhythms of wildlife. So it'd be tied to, protecting and maintaining biodiversity. So that's something we could talk about. And I think we'd have to think about what can't, because I think that's kind of where I'm stuck right now, is like how we would actually like implement something, or outside of just kind of like talking about it or throwing out education in the newsletter. But I think that's at least like something maybe worth exploring or talking about more, would be light pollution in the village.
Yeah, we had somebody come in about 8 months ago, wasn't there? Maybe a year ago now, and put
that
out
was
a presentation.
A couple years ago, at the, was that long maybe ago? A year and a half. Yeah.
Was it? Did he did a write up for us? Didn't he? Or
he did. Yes, he put something together, and I think Eric had helped sort of finalize the write up. Okay. But
your point, it's a good thing to keep.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely gave us information, but I wrote up something that went into a monthly newsletter, so I can forward that to you. And if you want to use this as a basis, I mean, it's certainly been long enough that I think we could run this again. And if you wanted to, use it at Triton or anywhere else, but I'll send that to you. And I also, last year I forwarded, I don't know how it came up, but I forwarded it to the Oak Park Public Library, and they put together something from it, it was giving it out. So, but I mean, I think we have to circle back on these things all the time, because they're, yeah. And it was just informational. I don't know how we could ever.
That's great to hear.
I can give you my personal feedback, which is my I had a motion sensitive light on my garage that went out, and I just started walking in, and I just realized, if I just take a second, my eyes adjust, and just as the information he gave us, it's like when you have certain areas illuminated, people can be hiding in the shadows and you don't see them. So some people think of this as, oh, this is so safe, but I feel like now I can, especially with the snow, I can see it a lot better. So I'll send that along to you.
I do have, I did have relatives come in over the holidays, and they did mention how dark our neighborhood was. And I was very proud, saying it's supposed to be darker than Chicago, where you can see every nook and cranny of every block. That was intentional. So.
Does anybody else have any thoughts, or even if it's just something that you'd like us to discuss in the upcoming months?
Exploring getting another student commissioner would be cool.
Okay. Yeah, do you have any ideas about how to go about that?
You did send rolling. Along that one individual who had applied. I'll need to follow up with that on that again, because I don't know if they were just waiting for to do a bunch of commission appointments or what, but I'll check on that.
Or like whenever there's new student openings, like a designee or whoever wants to just go to the high school, and if there's students there, and try to recruit them and have a discussion on sustainability.
What? You wanted to talk? Sorry. No, I'm just saying I could do that. Like, if you need someone to talk to someone, I don't know if I'm the best person.
Oh, are you on the in the environmental club?
I am not. I mean,
Oh, okay.
Very busy, but
cool. Yeah, I know.
I would totally be open to talking to someone or anything if they wanted, like, we're wondering questions or something about what it's like being a student commissioner or anything.
Yeah, that would kind
or
of.
Maybe you could go back, go by and talk to them, go to one of the meetings and talk to them.
Yeah, or find
just
out.
Encourage them and tell them how great it is, how scintillating.
Would we be open for college students as well in the community?
I do think it does allow for college students as well. Yes. I thought there was the one charter yet. Well, but he's now a full commissioner. So.
Yeah, I mean,
Manila wants to then take a step back. No, I do. I'll need to check the charter or whatever, the sort of guideline document for the commission. But I think it says, high school or college student living or attending school in River Forest, living in or attending school in River Forest. Yes. So, okay. Yeah, that would certainly be a possibility as well.
A few Triton students.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's good to know that it would be included for a potential college student. Because yeah, I think between you and me, we could probably find someone. Yeah.
Well, if there are no more comments, we could wrap this up a whole 5 minutes early to make up for our 5 minute late meeting last month.
Yeah.
Oh, except for we should just announce the next. February 11th is our next scheduled meeting.
Yes.
Luckily, we're not landing on Valentine's Day this year as in past years. So, motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:20.